Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, and we're delighted to welcome Áine Ní Shonaoí. And first of all, let's get to the bottom line here. Áine Ní Shonaoí, first of all, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you.
Bolsha. Now, Ní Shonaoí. And Askelgin, you are a Gaeltacht, no matter what way you want to look at it. That translates to?
It translates to Áine Fox.
Okay. It's almost simpler in English, but never
yes,
mind.
Yes, definitely.
All right, tell us a little bit about yourself first before we talk about I Hope. Where were you bred and buttered?
I was born and raised, Adrian, in a small town in the west of Ireland, Boyle, County Roscommon.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up there, moved to Dublin, and then 9 years ago, I got an opportunity to move to New York City. So I'm still here.
Okay. Now we can talk a little bit about I Hope. And I Hope, before we even get to that, I Hope is a specialist organization in brain injury. Brain injury is something that we know very little about. I think when it comes to disabilities, many of us would know of physical disabilities. We're very familiar with Down syndrome, in particular, but for brain injuries, that is somehow not as as public as it ought to be. We know it's horrific. We know it's one of those diseases that we really don't even want to consider. But tell us about brain injury. Is there are there types of brain injuries? Take it from there.
Yes, Adrian. Pediatric brain injuries are actually the number one cause of death and disability for youth around the world. So it's a highly serious issue that needs to be addressed a lot more. And there are two main types of pediatric brain injuries. There are traumatic brain injuries, which would be motor vehicle incidents, sports-related concussions, blast injuries from war, which are highly prevalent at the moment with our returning veterans, and assaults or child abuse. And then there are the second category, which are non-traumatic causes, which would include anoxia, deprivation of oxygen, infection, brain tumor, strokes, or seizures. So a brain injury can affect any one of us at any time, so it's something that everybody needs to know a lot more about.
Okay. The recognition of brain injuries, how many of those and roughly what percentage happens at birth?
There are roughly 750,000 brain injuries recorded every year. A lot of them occur due to something going wrong during or after the birth, and many of them occur through sports-related concussions. And they're highly prevalent at the moment because the brain is developing up to the age of 25. Unfortunately, they're highly prevalent among our returning veterans. The average age is 19 and a half for returning veterans with traumatic brain injury.
Okay. To sports, is it being addressed as we might expect in terms of sports injuries?
The Sarah Jane Brain Foundation, I'll come to that later, is actually doing a lot of work to highlight how to prevent and how to identify and how to take these sports-related concussions a lot more seriously. Basically, people need to be educated more about sports-related concussions. And we have seen in the past where there's been a lot of rugby players and boxers who have had brain injuries that went undiagnosed at the time. So the Sarah Jane Brain Foundation is doing a ton of research into how to highlight these sports-related concussions more and, of course, how to prevent them in the first place.
Now, let's talk about your own child, your own daughter, Grace Ann Carroll, and take that from her birth.
Yes. Unfortunately, Adrian, I have a personal experience with brain injury. I guess I can divide my life very clearly into two segments, before the 2nd of January 2006 and after. On the 2nd of January 2006, my daughter, Grace Ann, suffered a devastating brain injury. And just to give the background, I had a beyond perfect pregnancy in a top hospital in New York, but something went terribly wrong during and after the birth. And as a result, she suffered a devastating brain injury where, as one doctor quite glibly put it afterwards, everything had been wiped out. So a few hours after the birth, the head of pediatrics came to the recovery room and he said those words to me, which no parent should ever have to hear. He said, "Your daughter suffered a devastating brain injury. She's on life support. It's unlikely she will make it past day two." So as you can imagine, in that instant, my life, my husband's life, the lives of many people just changed completely in one instant. And what made it so difficult is that it should be one of the happiest moments of your life, you know, seeing your newborn for the first time. And it very quickly became one of the darkest moments of my life.
Let me ask you, in terms of course, first of all, in a situation like this, we instantly want to rush to culpability. What happened? Whose fault? What is your reaction, your husband's reaction as parents? Does that kind of come and say, well, you know, basically, who screwed up here?
Well, basically, Adrian, you're thrown into this whole medical field of her brain has been devastated. What can we do now to help her to survive? What can we do now so that if we turn off the life support machine in 3 or 4 days, what can we do to help her make it through? So you switch into this different mode of survival and you just focus on the fact that she's still alive, even if the machine is keeping her alive, and you focus on what can we do to help her survive long term. So you kind of switch into a totally different mode. You know, you want to mourn the loss of, but you can't even mourn because you're thrown into this whole medical world of specialists and doctors. And, you know, I was told a complex multiplicity of medical conditions that she would have. Now, any single one of those would be catastrophic on their own. But I was taking in tens, if not hundreds, of these catastrophic medical conditions, such as blindness, seizure disorder, severe cerebral palsy, inability to eat independently. Basically, I was told that if she made it off the life support, she would need 24 hours care for the rest of her life. So when you hear that news as a first-time parent, you go into a mode of, I guess it's survival, and you don't think about the big picture. You just think, how am I going to get through the next hour?
The decision then at that point is basically, after all the medical advice and whatever, it's you, it's the parents who have to decide where to go from here.
Correct, yes.
You know, what was there a reality that obviously one option would have been the easy option, and that would obviously be to disconnect the life support and go on. But as a parent, obviously that is something that, as much as you would like to go forward, you would have to consider. Anyway, it's there, it's real.
Yes. Yeah, it's very complex and very scary. In the beginning, I was told she wasn't going to make it, and I struggled to find comfort in the fact that I was told she was going to be an angel and she was going to be with me forever, which no earthly person could ever be, and there was actually some comfort in that. It actually became more scary when I was told that it was amazing she was going to survive, but I was told she would need 24-hour one-to-one care in order to survive. And that was even more scary because then I was thrown into this whole world of rehab, therapy, you know, oxygen, suction machines. It's hard to explain it because it's so complex. People can't even relate to it.
How did you find, and did you know, how quickly did you get to know about this fellow, Irish-American Patrick Donahue, an Irish-American prominent lawyer, well-known as the finance director for, you know, Governor George Pataki, a fundraiser, somebody who, in fact, had the exact same situation, but for a reason, a different reason. Tell us about Sarah Jane Donahue.
Yes. 6 months prior to Grace Ann's birth, Sarah Jane Donahue was born in New York, and perfect, beautiful baby. And tragically, 5 days after she was born, she was subjected to a violent shaking by her baby nurse. And this resulted in broken collarbone, broken ribs, and devastating brain damage. A certain percentage of her cortex was completely wiped out. So although the cause was different, the end result was similar to Grace Ann in that she needed 24-hour care, and her dad was told, as I was, that she would never walk, she would never talk, she would never do anything independently. Now, Patrick Donahue he was a prominent Irish-American lawyer at the time, and for me, nobody has ever epitomized an ability to turn a personal tragedy into a triumph as Patrick Donahue has. So he gave up his career as a lawyer, and he changed his career to what he calls changing the world for his daughter, Sarah Jane, my daughter, Grace Ann, and countless other kiddies who have suffered a severe brain injury. So he set up in 2007, a year after Sarah Jane was born, he set up the Sarah Jane Brain Foundation. And amazingly, in a short time, this foundation, which is a 501c3, has now become one of the leading organizations worldwide working to prevent, identify, and treat brain injuries. And Patrick Donahue was so determined that the Sarah Jane Brain Foundation was going to be the world leader. He gathered together over 75 worldwide experts from places such as Children's Hospital Boston, Harvard Medical School, the Mayo Clinic, all the top centers of excellence. He gathered together all the experts, and they spent 5 years researching what's the best way to identify, treat brain injury, because brain injury is so complex, it's individual to each person that suffers it, so the treatment has to be also individual.
The last thing that that you probably, as new parent of a brain injured child, would be thinking of is, where is she going to go to school? Where is she going to learn about life? Is she going to be just subjected to minimal educational skills? And actually, and unfortunately, for most brain injured children, that's the reality.
Correct. Basically, the first 4 years just passed through in a haze of hospitalization, surgeries, doctor appointments, and 24-hour nursing care, which I was doing myself 24/7. So by the time it came to Grace Anne's education, I honestly didn't have much left to research, to fight for what she needed. But deep down, Adrian, I knew that Grace Anne had potential, and I knew that she was a smart cookie, but because she was nonverbal, she just couldn't express it. So she attended a few different semi-private schools in New York. None of them were able to reach her. So when I got an email last summer from Patrick Donahue to say that he was setting up a school called IHOPE in New York City, I immediately replied and said, I want Grace to go to this school. And it's been the best decision of my life and Grace Anne's life because it's completely changed everything for her.
IHOPE.
Yes.
It's the international. Will you tell us? What does IHOPE?
Yes, it stands for the International Academy of Hope. And it's designed to be the best school in the world for children with brain injuries. And I love the word hope because it gives back hope to parents like me who have had a child who has suffered a devastating brain injury. So basically, when a child has a severe brain injury, the treatment and the recovery requires an individualized, integrated approach. And it's very highly specialized, and it's something that is not available in any other school in New York or anywhere else in the world at the moment. So the mission of IHOPE is even greater. It's to be the best school in the world and to replicate this knowledge across the country and eventually across the world by establishing other IHOPE schools. And of course, because I'm Irish, and because there's a great need in Ireland, Irish people have brain injuries too, I do have my eye on eventually translating this knowledge to Ireland.
Instantly we have to, address, say, funding for this. And where does New York rate in terms of, say, for the United States in terms of the availability of funding, and where does that fit in terms of for general medical health and the varied problems there has been with healthcare, the ever-changing conditions that have brought us for right through to what is now Obamacare. How and where does the funding come, say, for a brand new school? We're talking about this creation of Patrick Donahue, which really only started, I hope started, last September. How was school accredited? How did it grow from initially his own daughter and you're right there, number two, with your daughter? How did it grow to what is now a school of 19 and, in fact, starting in September with the next school year, the numbers will rise to 40 plus? How was it paid for?
Well, I guess Patrick had a lot of initial research and groundwork done in the first 5 years with the Sarah Jane Brain Foundation. So he set up the school in such a way that it complied with the Board of Ed guidelines for a special school. So it's not any different to any other special school in New York City in that the Board of Ed will fund the therapists and the teachers' salaries.
Now, why is it that parents who then participate or who want to get their children into this unique school for brain-injured children, what's the deal with the parents having to sue the Board of Education? It's a bit puzzling, but it's in one of your articles. and you are a writer, a columnist mm-hmm. for the Irish Echo, and in the midst of all of your other duties and responsibilities, not only do you write in English, but you translate your columns into Irish, into Gaelic. So tell us then, what's the story?
Yeah, the statement suing the Board of Ed sounds more dramatic than it actually is. It's actually a process that takes place with every child, every special needs child in New York, whereby the Board of Ed initially recommend that your child would attend a regular public school where there is not enough attention. Obviously, there would be 20 kids to one teacher. So suing the Board of Ed is a process that takes place with any special needs child where they need to go to a special school that is more, where they get more attention than in the regular public school.
Okay, but with most of the other disabilities, there is a case, to incorporate these kids into a public school kind of atmosphere, somewhat controversial, but that is understandable. Obviously, the reality is that with a brain injured child, say, well, okay, there are plenty of public schools, and I'm sure that getting care and attention in a public school is fine. Doesn't even sound practical. So then the Board of Education needs to obviously be to take brain injured children as special cases. Is this basically what that's about?
Yes. Basically, children with a brain injury, they need 100%, attention all day long. And in IHOP, just from my personal testimony, Grace Anne, after being in the school for possibly a month, I could see a dramatic difference in her behaviours. She, much higher goals were set for her because of the fact that there was one-to-one therapy, one-to-one teacher. She vocalizes now, and she started to verbalize for the first time. Even if it's American slang, she's saying, yeah, quite a lot. She can communicate for the first time. She can make choices. So she had been in semi-private schools since age 3, but nothing major. She had never made any progress, really, compared to what the progress she has made in the last few months at IHOP. Because Patrick also gathered together the top experts in therapy, and they have this approach where it's integrated. So they combine the medical, the educational, and the rehab approach. And every child's treatment is completely individual and changes on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, depending on the form the child is in that day.
Now, so again, the educational tab is paid for by the Board of Education,
yes.
But is that pretty much where it stops? Are there other areas like the health department and others that get to to really balance and make up the difference?
Well, basically, we would always need more funding to get the word out there more, to expand this school, to expand this idea to all the other cities. And there is also a plan to have a clinic beside the school so that kiddies like this have non-stop medical appointments so that they could have their medical appointments in the school environment and not have to take time off school to go to the neurologist or go to the gastro doctor. So there's a lot more that will need funding outside of the actual teachers and therapist salary.
You're having an event at the school. First of all, where is the school located, and where does that fit into, say, the Department of Education? Is this an isolated school? I know you mentioned beforehand that there were some semi-private institution schools that, to me at least anyway, sound more like minimal warehousing, daycare center.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about, first of all, where is the school?
The school is currently located in Lennox Avenue in central Harlem on 116th Street. There are plans down the road to have a new school building as part of the Columbia complex, so that the school will be very near a hospital. And that's a whole other plan that's for down the road. So at the moment, we're on Lennox and 116th Street. And we're actually having an Irish luncheon at the school next Thursday at lunchtime. So the idea is that people can come in and see the school and see what the kids do on a daily basis. And then there's also an aspect of introducing the school to all our Irish-American friends so that they can see what's going on. And there will be plans down the road to link with some of the top hospitals in Ireland and some of the top schools to try to transfer some of this knowledge, which can change a child's life overnight, to Ireland. Because there are also, at the moment, there's 15,000 Irish children suffering from new brain injuries every year. And there's a big gap in the system over there. There's no facilities for these people.
You said 15,000 per year.
Yes.
That's scary in itself, and particularly
mm-hmm.
when you look at Ireland and obviously the economic downfall and the struggle that Ireland is undergoing at the moment. It would appear to be that one of the highlighted issues in terms of healthcare, which was much better when there was plenty of money around in the Celtic Tiger days, have actually, it's a headline every day of the year about cutbacks and whatever. That is scary beyond belief. Having said that, now let's say analyze Ireland and say at 15,000 per year. How many of those are what percentage of those might be sports injury related? Any idea on that one?
I don't have the research on that. What we are doing at the moment is we're linking up with ABI, which is the association in Ireland that looks at brain injuries and what can be done to highlight it. And we're also linking up because there's such an issue in Ireland about costing towards healthcare. It makes total sense that an organization like the Sarah Jane Brain Foundation and IHOPE, who have all this research collated and all this work already done for the last 7 years, we're going to link with some of the hospitals like Crumlin, Temple Street,
yeah.
and some of the top schools. So we're going to share our knowledge
yeah.
and start that way.
Our Lady's Hospital for Sick Children in
yes.
Dublin, considered to be one of the, and it's not foreign to me, some, maybe it's now 15 years ago. I was a part of a facilitating group that linked the hospital, Our Lady's Hospital for Sick Children, with Our Lady of Mercy Hospital here in the Bronx. And the exchange of research and information worked pretty well. I don't know the current status of that or whether, in fact, it still continues. But that is considered to be a win-win situation. And obviously, that linking with Ireland, and I know that that is a strong desire of the founder of Sarah Jane Foundation, and I hope Patrick Donahue.
Right.
But in the meantime, in our own area here, I would say that the lack of knowledge with respect to brain injuries and some of the statistics that you have rolled out this morning are almost unimaginable. I can't even fathom that shocking reality is now coming to light. And fair play to Patrick Donahue and indeed the Sarah Jane Foundation, which has now been pretty much morphed into IHOPE. Am I right on that?
Correct. The Sarah Jane Brain Foundation is the founding body, and that's the 501c3, and the school is an associated part of the Sarah Jane Brain Foundation.
What would you suggest? Now, you're having this luncheon at the school this coming Thursday. What time is that taking place?
Yes, we're having it from 12 to 2 on Thursday, the 26th of June. And Grace Ann and I would love to see anyone, Irish American, everybody would be more than welcome to come. There is a donation. Some people are welcome to come as guests. And we also have a note on our website, which I will give you at the end, which explains the different funding levels if somebody is interested in funding.
Okay. Now, when those of us who will attempt to get there, including myself, when you get that you're actually going to see the students, the brain injured children, and how they're being taken care of?
Correct. I think it makes a difference when people actually see firsthand little kids like my own daughter, Grace Ann, being able to hit a switch and communicate what they want to do next. And that's why our school is open at any time for people to come and talk with me, talk with Patrick about, you know, our future plans. And just going back to the Irish-America connection, I guess, Adrian, you know more than anyone the tight connection there is between Ireland and America. So I am hoping Hanora O'Dea Kilkenny has kindly offered me the consulate for a coffee morning to maybe get together 6 or 8 people for an Irish advisory board of the Sarah Jane Brain Foundation, so that going forward we could look at the idea of linking with hospitals, linking with schools in Ireland, so that without any great cost to the Irish government, they could avail of a lot of the research that we have already done here. Because just from a personal experience, IHOPE has given back so much hope to special children and their families since September. I'm very enthusiastic about the idea of spreading this everywhere else, because anything that gives somebody back hope, I feel, is so crucial.
If the experience, as I said, as Chair, that I was involved in, if that's anything to go by, we do know that Ireland has as much, indeed, to contribute as America has, you know, to Ireland. And again, we're not surprised, of course, that Hanora O'Dea Kilkenny would indeed make that very important meeting possible. But let's not get confused with that and what is taking place next Thursday. I'm sure a number of people, even on short notice, hopefully will avail of this opportunity to stop in between 12 and 2 o'clock. But there are many others listening to our program, obviously, who can get a crash course simply by logging on to your website. Now, give us that.
Yes. Our website is www.ihopenyc.org. www.ihopenyc.org.
Okay. Now, and in this day of social media, in which I claim total ignorance, I know that Anya Sheridan, our executive producer here and president of Flannelly Promotions, found a lot of information through Facebook and all of the other things that are out there. Is there a, do you want to give us some information on that, or would you recommend just going to the I Hope NYC?
The I Hope website actually has all the links to our Facebook and our Twitter accounts, which are very active at the moment.
Fantastic. It goes without saying, friends, that funding is obviously very important. I think equally important is that we learn about brain injury, and the website is full of information on that. It is a topic for many of us that we feel uncomfortable about bringing up in the first place. It's like one of those, horrific diseases that we would prefer to assume that everything is rosy, and that parents like yourself, and indeed like Patrick Donahue, that somehow there is an endless supply of both funding, and that this kind of takes care of itself. Obviously, that's not the situation. But I think that in addition, say, to funding, which is very important, we need to get a lot more information. We need to know what it is, and I know from this morning, I've learned more, and I know our listeners will have learned more about brain injury, about IHopeNYC.org than we've known before. I thank you for taking the time to be with us, and hopefully we'll see you next Thursday. Again, the address is what?
116th Street and Lenox Avenue.
The information?
IHope,
as in IHOPENYC, one word, .org. My guest, Áine Níosháinní, and indeed for those who probably have followed your column in the Irish Echo, you've managed to get a lot of coverage. For instance, Andrea Pizer in the New York Post devoted an article. There have been many columnists and newspapers, not only throughout the United States, but media is paying attention, and I would venture to guess that this would not happen were it not for your founder, Patrick Donahue. We are obviously very proud of his taking on, not only his the future of his own brain-injured daughter, but also to incorporate that into with parents like yourself, and I know that you have and that you play a large role in IHOPE. We want to wish you all the best, and again, get onto that website, www.ihopenyc.org. My guest, Áine Níosháinní. Thank you, Áine.
And can I just say, Gáire Míle Maithagat, Adrian and Áine, for having me on the show this morning. And a broader thank you, Adrian, for everything you've been doing for the last 40 years, I think, to highlight everything about Ireland and America here in New York. Gáire Míle Maithagat.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network USA. If you log on to our website, friends, we'll give you that direct link again to www.ihopenyc.org.